Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome to Revital Bites, your quick and potent dose of herbal wisdom and mini knowledge nuggets. So this is where we dive into the magic of a single herb or a health-specific topic, rapid-fire style. No fluff, just straight-up knowledge. So today, we're breaking down Elder, its medicinal power, folklore roots, energetic vibe, and the key things you need to know before using it. Let's get into it.
We have a brand new segment. Revital, bite me. No. And we have the bites. Revital bites.
Nibbles.
Nibbles.
Nibbles. Nibble me.
We've got some little herbally nibbles coming your way. So we're going to be doing a rapid fire 15-minute episode.
Q&A.
Q&A.
Deep dive.
On a herb. Yeah? Perfect.
Yeah. Great.
So today, herb of the hour. What is it, Chris?
We're doing elder because it's a two for one. We get elder awesome. Flower. We get elder berry.
Yes. Amazing. All right. So where do we start? Medicinal properties, actions, usages. Let's go.
So we've got elder. The Latin for it is Sambucus nigra.
Mm-hmm.
The etymology of that is the Sambucu is like a panpipe. If you think like pan with its little flutes or those Peruvian little so it's because they used to make those out of the stems of the wood from the elder because it's hollow or it's easily hollow. It's got like a hard outer layer, like an outer bit of wood, but the inner core is actually quite spongy. And if you cut up slices, you can push it through with a something long, like a toothpick or a chopstick or whatever, depending on how long it is, and almost make like a straw, but that could be like the pan pipe. So that's the Sambucu, which is the original sort of Greek word for that instrument, and that's Sambucus. And then nigra is black because this is black elderberry as opposed to the red variety, which is indigenous to Americas. So that's Sambucus nigra or the elder tree. So
okay.
That's the naming.
So how do we use it?
It has been referred to as the medicine chest of the people because every part of the elder is beautifully medicinal. Maybe not always palatably medicinal or pleasantly medicinal, but it is beautifully medicinal. Most commonly, we use the flowers. I've got some little flowers here. I'm going to hold up to the little camera. I don't know if you can see. They're like little sort of little fairy flowers almost is the best way to describe them. They're really, really tiny.
Teeny tiny.
Five-petaled, five stamens. They're normally white color. An elder has a particularly interesting smell. It's kind of a bit cat pee when it's fresh, but once it dries, you get that classic sort of like lychee-esque elderflower kind of olfactory notes to it. And these obviously ripen up into the elderberry, which is what I think most people have sort of encountered them as. We've got some little elderberries here in front of the camera, but for those of you listening, they're like tiny little
dark
little berries.
Sultanas.
Yeah, but even smaller, like tiny.
Babies.
And so people will often have elderberry as like a syrup or as an extract for supporting colds and flu. And the flowers are very similar in supporting colds and flu. They have very different actions.
Yes, I'm going to ask you that.
And also talked about the medicine chest of the people. That's just like the flowers and the fruits, if you think. But the twigs themselves, the outer bark has medicinal actions, and then it's quite good for fevers, but it is very emetic in that it will make you vomit. So if you're wanting to...
Tell me what you just told me before.
Purge. Well, I love elder because elder in all its forms helps to open up all the emunctories, all the channels for healing. It makes you piss, it makes you sweat, it makes you shit, it makes you vom. It does. It opens it all up. It opens up all the... It opens
Free
up the
flow.
You know when someone's like, let's clear your chakras, we go for elder because it's going to clear, it's going to blow open.
Yeah.
So yeah, the inner bark is quite emetic, as is the seeds from the elderberry. So if you ever encounter elderberry in the wild and you're sure it's elderberry, never eat the seeds raw because they will make you power bomb, like exorcist power bomb, basically. Which is why we need to cook it down, or we need to process it, or we need to dry it out and use it that way. And often heat inactivates that. The leaves themselves are really great for bruises. A oil infusion from the leaves is actually really anti, like, bug, so like keeping away ticks and flies, that kind of thing. I've made ointments before from the elder leaf.
Repellent.
Kind of, we kind of think of it as like even maybe from an energetic aspect for like creating a shield against energy vampires as well. It's kind of, you know, that's why I've used that in the past. Mechanisms of action. The elder flower themselves is a lot more drying, a lot more astringent. It's what we call an anti-catarrh, and that it reduces mucus and mucus secretion.
Sinus.
So we use it a lot for like quite heady complaints of colds and flu. That's why it's in the yep tea or the pew tea, whichever way you want to call it, which is the very classic cold and flu tea of yarrow, elderflower, and peppermint. And the elder's in there because it's supporting a little bit of like immune upregulation, but it's more because it's drying and clearing for excessive mucus secretion. And it's a diaphoretic in that it helps you to sweat more and sweat more effectively. We talked about those emunctories. Elderberry is the same. It's a lot more, I find, a lot more indicated for sweating and for opening up sort of a better fever or a much more controlled fever. But the berries themselves have a lot more of the immune function in that they're being a berry, they're full of vitamin C, but they're also stimulating to the immune system. And they have a very interesting phytochemical that has to do with its anthocyanins, in that it actually covers and protects or interrupts the way that viruses want to replicate. So we know viruses are not really living organisms, and they're kind of like little vampires in your system that they want to sort of put their, inject their DNA into, and then they make that cell make more viruses, and that's how it spreads basically in the cells. But the anthocyanins in the elderberry, they actually help to interrupt that sequence, so it protects your cells from being like more viral replication. And so often it's one of my first go-tos for cold and flu because it's halting the virus in its tracks.
Antiviral.
That's
so much when COVID was here.
For any sort of virally things, I would sort of go that elderberry, even like sort of that when you feel really sick and you just feel like flat and you need like that shield, or things are too bright, things are too heavy, or people are too loud, elderberry. Like it's kind of,
All right. Love it. So folklore, we can talk about energetics as well, because I know we've already talked a little bit about
it. I'm going all over the place.
It's the first
time we're doing this one. So we talked about how it's the medicine chest for people. Some of the folklore from a religious aspect is that it's not good wood to burn, so it's not the best like firewood, and is also a tree that's quite associated with the fairies and sort of the fae courts, both in like sort of Irish and Scottish and old Celtic English kind of history. And so to cut an elder would be unlucky, and to burn an elder would be even unluckier. So it's not really used for that, but it's not good firewood. But it was also because it's so hollow. We talked about being like really brittle and hollow, and it's a tree that kind of like gets quite sort of, I don't know if you've ever seen wintertime, and like it drops all its leaves, drops all its flowers, and looks quite like sort of dead. And because it sort of dropped its wood quite easily, it was described as the tree that Judas, who betrayed Jesus, hung himself on. And that's why it was a cursed tree and not a good tree for hanging or for supporting weight. But we know that's because it's quite hollow. We talked about, like, there's not a lot of, yeah. But it's also a tree in the way that it grows. It sends out lots of runners, and the runners make new trees. And so you can have one, if you put an elder in the ground, you're going to have a forest in a couple of years' time because it just spreads like crazy. Sorry, mum and dad. And the reason I love that is because it's also a herb, therefore, I feel, for like thriving and proliferation and kind of like in those instances where you need more growth or you need more resilience, elders there for that kind of aspect. Being that it's a fairy tree, we've talked about women would wash their faces with elderflower water or elderflower dew to sort of be as beautiful and as radiant and as glamorous as the fae.
It's still and it's, a practice.
It's really toning and tightening for skin. It's also like great for hyperpigmentation as well. I know I've used an eye washes for clearing away like sty eyes, that kind of thing. So like, and sort of also clearing the vision, helping you to see the fairies.
Yes.
For those watching the show, I'm right here. So it's
we have a real life
it's a real life fairy. So it's a beautiful herb on sort of all those sort of levels. Yeah. So we get like there's the English Sambucus niger or the European, and we have the American one, which produces like red foliage and sort of really red flowers. It has slightly different actions, but there's still a little bit of an immune. But I'd always sort of go for the black elder more.
Get more readily.
It grows really well here in Australia. You can get them from like most sort of botanical shops. Just my big thing is like when you put them in the ground, it's going to be really hard to get rid of them because they send all these runners around. And that's kind of the folklore and then energetics. Like I see it as being, it depends on what part you use. If you're using the berry, I see it as being quite warming in energetics, quite moistening because it's a fruit. There is sort of a bit of a slight cooling aspect because it is a sour tasting fruit, but I think it is quite warming in how it helps us heat up and sweat and that kind of thing. And it's quite moistening because it's got it's a juicy kind of fruit. But where they're using the flowers, I think of it as definitely quite cooling. And for me, quite drying as well in the actions of the energetics there. I feel like both are quite relaxing in terms of tension. They're not necessarily like creating stimuli, like tightening the tissues. They're more relaxing in their action. Just to kind of use like the six tissue thing. Elemental aspect, I feel like it's a beautiful mix sort of all of the elements. I wouldn't see it being too much fire, too much air, too much water, too much earth. It's kind of nicely balanced, maybe leaning a bit more towards water just because of its astrological correspondences and how it sort of works in the body, moving fluids around. So maybe a little bit more on the water side. But for me, I'd say because it's got its sort of foot in all those realms and being like quite a magical tree, really. So that's Mama Elder, basically. That's a beautiful little herb for autumn heading into winter.
So quick applications. So how do we use it? Obviously we've got the berries, we've got the flowers, we've got the liquids, you've got your beautiful toddy that you make all
the
of us.
The hot toddy, the hot rum.
Yeah.
Obviously you can get extracts from your friendly neighborhood naturopath who can prescribe liquid extracts for you, or teas. Both the berries and the flowers work well as a tea. They're not the drying of the berries. You're not eating seeds, so that's fine. It's a great tea. But I really like to make it as what would be traditionally called a Venus rob or an elderberry cordial or an elderberry syrup. And that would be if you've got fresh elderberries, fantastic. You sort of harvest them when they're darkly colored, not when they're green because that'll make you churn, but when they're nice and purple, and you just sort of take them off the stem with a fork because you want the little stems, because the little stems have a little bit of cyanide in them, but you know that's not a problem.
We
but like
a little bit
there's a little bit of cyanide. So kind of take them with a fork, and then I would make that, deconcoct that on the stove. It's like so a deconcoct is boiling on the stove in water. And you want to make quite a strongly darkly coloured liquid. Almost think like Ribena, like really like a really rich colour. So you need a lot of berries or a little bit of water, whichever way you're doing it. And then you strain that liquid out after like a good 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I would add in for every pound per pint. I know that's in Imperial. That's just the way that my brain remembers that recipe. a pound of liquid. Sorry, a pound of sugar per pint of liquid is the way to remember. Or you'd go a pound and a half of honey to a pint of liquid. and then you would just like reduce that on the stove, add your sweetener until it's like to keep it preserved, and that's your rub. And then I take like a good teaspoon or two of that with some hot water. It's a good squeeze of lemon. That's like a little like winter warmer, hot toddy. Sort of Venus rub just to kind of help with sweating and keep us warm and sort of help with colds and flu and sort of that throaty dryness you get with the sort of colds and flu. That's my favorite way to do it.
Incredible. So, yeah. And we will have some for the winter season.
Yeah, we'll have a little clip and some recipes for all that for the listeners at home. But yeah, that's our beautiful elder in a little quick 15-minute nibble.
I know, so. It's so good. All right, last phrase for this herb. Fun fact or last phrase?
For me, it would be the summation, which is elder is the medicine chest of the people. So
there is elder. All right, tune in for the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatment.